Hello, my darlings. This is Amish Patel, CEO of the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation, and lots to talk about today. A lot of laughs to get into. I have a great story today about this online this lawyer called out another lawyer. And I love when people get called out in dating situations and their whole profile and their faces posted publicly in a dating situation. It really is one of my favorite things. Kind of sad, but also a good reminder to like, hey, you know, first of all, good laughs are up moment, but also a good like, hey, you know, I'm not getting called out. Sometimes you gotta feel good in relative terms sometimes, you know? Sometimes you gotta feel good like that. But anyway, I remember I was telling this story to a friend of mine, and I have an issue, right? Where, like, okay, I was telling that story, the one about the lawyer, and they were dying. Someone was dying, okay? Now, I don't know if the story was that tight, we'll find out at the end, but they were dying. And one of my favorite things to do as a comedian, I call it a break a people. I like to break a people. And break a people is basically when someone's laughing so hard that they can't even breathe anymore. And they might die, quite frankly. And a lot of you might be thinking that's kind of negative. Like, why are you trying to kill someone with the laughs? But it's like, I mean, we're all gonna go. What a good way to go. You know what I mean? What a gift. Some people are gonna go, like you're gonna go sitting in a hospital bed. That's one way to do it. That's one way to do it. But then the other way to do it is like laughing. You laugh so hard that you couldn't breathe anymore. And then just, and then imagine you're frozen in your tomb, in a casket like that. Guys, before we get into that though, make sure you go to laughsareup.com, join the mailing list, and then you will know when laughs are going up in the culture, in the community, because I'm bringing them up. And then if you go to laughsareup.com and sign up, you will be the first to know when new videos come up, when there's shows coming up, because really, these are the B laughs. If I can be quite frankly honest with you, these are kind of like the B laughs. The big laughs are in person, and that in-person community feel of the live stand-up comedy show, there's something very exciting about that. It's the kind of excitement that makes you say, oh, God is great, you know? Even if you're an atheist, you'll say it at the live show. You might say it during this episode too, but during the live show, you'll definitely say it. So make sure you go to laughsareup.com, join the mailing list. Then you can know about when these videos are coming out. Because basically, we got a sales structure here at the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation that goes very simple. It's like this, okay? We got a very simple sales funnel here. We got the bits. They bring the traffic in from the social media, right? From there, we got podcast listeners, which is you, I mean, if you're listening to this. And then from there, we got people spending money further down the funnel. If the laughs are up and the outrage is down, profits should be through the roof. That's kind of how we're planning this corporation. Yeah, I like to exaggerate. And I like to break a pool. Oh, I was talking about being at this funeral. Oh, so I was at this funeral recently. Because we were talking about, like, imagine the gift. Because there's so many ways, you're gonna die. There's so many ways you could go, but imagine someone gave you the gift of like, you laughed so hard that you died from it. That's a break a people. That's kind of, I don't want to sound like I want, like I'm going for that. Oh, there's an airplane going overhead. I don't want to sound like I want people to die. It's not that I don't want people to die. And I don't want to hurt people either. I want there to be a pure joy coming from this, from the laughs being up. But if it happens, I would almost consider it like a bit of a gift, quite frankly. I would almost call it like a bit of a gift, you know, that I helped someone, that I gave someone such a great way to go. And I think I would feel good about myself partly. But anyway, I was at a funeral though recently, and this guy came in with a headset Bluetooth on. He had the headset on. He had the Bluetooth headset on, just in case he got a call. But we're at a funeral, you know what I'm saying? And part of me wanted to be like, dude, do you really need to, like, are you expecting a call? Can you let go of work for a minute? And I kind of want to do that. Now, did I do that? No. But then I was also, another part of me was like, hey, Amish, how about instead of trying to come up with bits and roasting people at this funeral, how about you do your job? See that perspective? Called perspective, people. You got to have that perspective. Because here's the thing. The obvious first thing that you even thought was, dude, why are you wearing Bluetooth? Right? Put the work away. When you're at the funeral, put the work away. And then even as I'm thinking that, now I'm in my head, now I'm roasting this guy for having the Bluetooth headset on during a funeral. And now I'm thinking, wait a minute, roasting, you're a comedian, that's your job. I'm gonna go tell him, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And the person who judges another Do not judge a splinter in someone else's eye when you have a whole tree up in your eye, dude. Something like that, basically. There's a saying like that. Don't, you can see the splinter in someone else's eye, but you don't see there's a whole tree in your eye, dude. Right through your eye. How are you even alive right now? So weird that you're even alive. Just listen to those birds chirping and feel good about life, my darlings, because I'm out. I'm just out in front of some graffiti. So Rick Mercer, right? Is there anything more Rick Mercer than just shooting in front of a bunch of graffiti? So Canadian. And then even on the way here, I got a little ambitious because it's April and it's like pretty warm. It's pretty warm out. So I left with just a long sleeve. And of course I had to stop on the way to get a hoodie from the Joe Fresh. So Canadian. So Canadian. Underestimated the coldness, or preemptively thought it would be hot out, preemptively t-shirted, put on a t-shirt, basically. So Canadian. And then when I was in the Joe Fresh, I saw another lady there, and we both looked at each other. We always do this in Canada, where, I mean, I guess maybe everyone does this, but it's so Canadian to just look at someone and be like, what is this smile that we do? We do just such a goofy smile where we just go. Is there anything more goofy Canadian than that? Jeez. Also, just shooting in front of a bunch of graffiti for free. That's just so Canadian too. I feel like on American productions, whenever I'm on a US production, dude, they'll build a bridge. That's how crazy they are. That's how much money they have. They have so much money, dude. Too much money in America, you know? That's why everyone leaves. You gotta leave at some point. If you don't get hooked up like Mercer, you gotta go to America, baby. But not to throw shade on Mercer, Mercer's great. I think he's gonna retire this year or something. They always do that in Canada, where people, dude, this hour is 22 minutes. For like 15 years, they're like, this is the last year. This is the last year. Every 2 years, 22 minutes just does it. This is the last year. And then Beaverton even, I heard that they're done. And then they're like, well, we're gonna, coming back. Dude, Canada's so funny like that. We're so silly. We just feel bad. Like, I think we just feel bad canceling people. I saw this great Canada Land thing about George Strombolopoulos and how he's never had good ratings. Ever, ever. But he's just a cool dude and we like him. Do we like him enough to go watch him? No. Nobody's watching George Strombolopoulos, apparently. According to this thing. And then at one point, remember George Strombolopoulos went to CNN in the States? He goes to CNN and even they were like, oh, dude, we thought we'd get some ratings from Canada. Nothing? Nothing. Dude, he got canceled so quick. One of those groundbreaking CNN cancels, because it's CNN, man. Just put him on at 2 a.m., dude. He got worse than those people even? Okay, well, fucking cancel it then. I don't know. It's America, baby. It's all about their money. But Canada's like 50-50. It's like half about money and actual ratings, and then half about, like, can you talk someone doing the grants to just give you money? I'm not complaining. The game is the game, baby. The game is the game. You know, and this is where we are, and we're not gonna build a whole set, and I'm not gonna go get a studio. I got a mic on. Look at this mic. It's so tight. Look at this thing. Look at it. Look at this. This is the mic that I'm using right now. I could be in a studio. Now, are you catching a little bit of birds chirping? Yeah, but that's helping you feel good about yourself. I just went to the meditation gym, mindset? Meditation gym in Yorkville. Ah! Oh! I'm so excited about that. I walked in there and I was like, I'm part of the upper class. I'm a prince. As soon as I walked into meditation gym. It's a meditation gym. Guys, I'm a millionaire, basically. God make me prince, brother. God make me prince. I signed up for the meditation gym. Yeah, man, I'm very, that's what I do. That's the kind of guy I am. I'm into the spirituality, meditation. I like it. It's great. I think I'm going to go today. And they had a book. I got the book too. Guys, make sure you go to laughsareup.com and fund these ridiculous spending habits of mine where I'm just going to join a meditation gym. It wasn't that bad. It was like a 1 month trial. I got to cancel it on time. And then we're all good, baby. My darlings. My darlings. There's a lot of people saying that basically Game of Thrones, in 1,000 years, people are going to think that that's our religion. And maybe it is, in a way, you know? And there's a lot of people saying that not only Game of Thrones, but also like all these Avengers movies and stuff like that. That's all America writing their mythology. Because Hinduism has all this mythology, and it's so much like Avengers and all that stuff, right? And so like back then, people wrote these stories, and then they eventually became like, no, this is God. This is a story from God or whatever. So I don't know. When you don't believe in stuff, it is hard to take it all so seriously. And I'm pretty atheist across the board. And when I say atheist, like I am spiritual. Listen, I joined a meditation gym. So I'm not a heartless maniac over here. You know what I'm saying? But also, it's like the way he finds the meanings in these stories is he would always be like, well, maybe what God meant was this, and then maybe by that God meant this. And it's like, dude, if you're doing three God meants, just take credit for that shit. That's you, baby. That's an original idea now. People, like, for less than that, they'll claim it themselves. There's some people who read books just to be like, there's some comics even who will just watch a serious movie to be like, oh, is that a bit? And then they'll just take it, rewrite it, and then that's their bit. And that's, you're doing that, Peter, with the biblical lecture series. He was doing that with Old Testament, which is thousands of years old, which is God given to, if you believe that it's given to us by God, I don't think God's sitting up there going like, hey, you couldn't credit me? Imagine you go up and God's like, hey, you couldn't credit me? Some good ideas, where'd you get that idea? You think God would be so petty like that? Come on. Dude, I remember even the other atheist people that would go around and argue with everyone, they called them the Four Horsemen. It was, I think, Sam Harris, Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins, but Sam Harris was the junior back then. This is back when we were in high school. Sam Harris was the junior, and then Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens were like the daddy pops back then. And then there was the fourth one, I think Dan Dennett, I want to say, but he's not really in the game like that anymore, I don't think, in the atheist game. I don't think he's in the atheist game like that anymore. I don't think he's fighting the fights like that, but Sam Harris is still kind of fighting the fights here and there. But interesting how Sam Harris is now seen as a racist, though. And like hard, dude. We'll have to talk about that in another episode. I feel so bad for him because I do love Sam Harris. But basically, if I can give you the Coles notes on that, basically those guys spent 20 years making fun of Christianity and then like, oh, okay, let's do Islam now. And the whole culture was like, nope. The entire, Muslims were like, nope. And then everyone else was like, nope, racist, nope. And they're like, hey, but we just did Christianity for 20 years, dude. We built our careers making fun of Christianity. And as soon as we do Islam, everyone's like, nah, do your own religion. You can do your own. Stick to your own. That's basically what happened. But it is also a bad time to make fun of Islam. Come on, these Americans are bombing them to shit. They're bombing them all the time. How can you criticize it without mentioning that? And I talked about this in the other episode where people do this thing. These, like the big argument, I guess, is someone will criticize Islam and then people will be like, hey, that's racist. And they're like, it's not racist. It's not a race. It's a religion. Okay. Such a technical. Hi. These dogs are so cute. Hi. The studio of the Lord. Don't you see? Look at this lighting. It's gorgeous. And somehow this camera doesn't make me look like a maniac. Because usually when things are so backlit, then I just look like just, you know, floating teeth and eyes, basically. Sometimes that does happen. Even when I'm on set, people are like, the DP sometimes will be like, Amish, you are gone. You are look like a ghost. You are look like a thief, something. Step in the light. You have to find light, Amish. You need extra, put more light on, Amish. Put more light on, because dude, if you're on a show with white people, and they light for them, then you just walk on and you're like a black. You just look like a floating eyeballs. Depending on the shot. But I remember my buddy years ago, he was gonna be a VJ at Much Music and, not my buddy, actually, I barely knew him, but he was a cool guy, like I knew him briefly. I think he would be my buddy, I liked him. As far as I'm concerned, he was my buddy, but he was a cool guy and, but he was older and like more established and maybe I was kind of like, oh, you know, newer and young, whatever. But I remember he won like this whole Much Music VJ search. And then he didn't get in at the end and they didn't tell him why. But then a couple of months later, someone told him that like he was too dark. It was just impossible because it's live television. It's just impossible to light. Like their main three people are white. And then this guy's dark black. And then they just couldn't. So they didn't tell him that officially, but they were like, yeah, basically, you were too dark. We couldn't light for you. So racist. So racist. And that's like a decision that nobody, they don't even tell anyone about. That's just a, one of those internal, like, ah, it's just so hard to switch the lighting for this guy. And then they just, all right, fine. Fuck, he's really good, but okay, let's just get someone else. And I mean, this is a decision that like 10, 15 years ago, was it 10 years ago? Maybe it was 8 years ago. I don't know. But anyway, the atheist movement. I was just telling you guys about a story that I exaggerated before. So this is a story that I exaggerated before. I remember Richard Dawkins, he's doing one of these atheist debates, and he's going up against this imam in England. And throughout the whole, it's an hour long debate, and I watch these debates like they're boxing matches, dude. And throughout the whole debate, Dawkins is like, what is the price for apostasy? What is the price for apostasy? And the Muslim guy who, he's just like not answering. Like he's just not having it. You know what I'm saying? He's like, dude. And by the way, if you don't know what apostasy means leaving the religion. And what Richard Dawkins was trying to get this guy to say is that basically if someone leaves Islam, you got to kill them. He was trying to get the other guy to say that because that's what apostasy means. If you leave the religion, that's called apostasy. And then he's trying to get this imam to admit that like if someone leaves, you got to kill them, don't you? Don't you? And he's trying to do that like, you know, A Few Good Men. Remember in A Few Good Men where they're like, you want the truth? You can't handle the truth. The way I remembered it was Dawkins was getting in his face the whole debate. And then at the end, the imam was like, we kill them. What does it have to do with anything? That's kind of, I don't know why I remembered it like that. Because I remember all these little debates as like, you know what I'm saying? These little fights. But then I went back and rewatched it. And the imam was so nice and so polite. And he was just like, the price for apostasy, it's death. But I just don't understand why that is relevant here. I mean, it's not something that we are enforcing currently. He didn't even say it that intense. He said it so nicely. He was so British too. That's the thing. And maybe I remembered it like in a way that I wanted there to be more drama, and there wasn't that much drama. Anyway, so this story about the LinkedIn lawyer. So this guy's like 50 years old, okay? Meets another, a younger lady. You already know where this is going. Meets a younger lady at this networking event for lawyers. Okay, so in his mind, he thinks they hit it off. He thinks they had a great time. He thinks they hit it off. He feels like, hey, we had a great time. It was great chatting with you. You know, it's just, so he sends her instead. So what does he do? Goofball McGee, he sends her a private message on LinkedIn later saying, but the private message was so goofy, dude. It was basically like, hi, Denise. You know, I just wanted to say that, like, imagine he did it like kicking his, like, hi, Denise. Hey, you know, it's just so great to meet you. And I thought we had such a lovely conversation. And, you know, I just thought it was so nice. Hi. I just thought we had such a lovely conversation. And, you know, we really hit it off. And you know, I'd just be kicking myself if I didn't say something. So I thought I'd just send you this message to say, hey, would you like to go out sometime for a drink, maybe? If the answer is no, that's fine too. That's okay. So then, of course, she gets this message. Copy and screen cap. Bomb. Right on Twitter. Ah! So awkward! That's funny though, right? Oh, that's so funny. Oh, it's so cute too. And the way I pictured it though. This is how I remember it. And then she screen capped it, puts it on Twitter, and she puts, her message is like, hi, I went to a networking event for professionals. So why don't you be a professional? Instead of hitting on someone that's 15 years your junior in the industry. Ah! So awkward. That's so funny though. Look, if you don't think that's funny, I don't know what to tell you, man. That's so funny. I know a lot of guys who got outraged when that happened, though. A lot of dudes, man. A lot of dudes. A lot of like Peterson fan types. They get outraged. They're like, Amish, how come you're not saying she's a bitch or something like that? And it's like, look, man. Look. The Lord put me here to find the laughs, brother. The Lord put me here to find the laughs, brother. I'm sorry, but you know, was it a little harsh? Yeah, let's do an analysis. Let's do an analysis breakdown here, guys. Let's do the full analysis of the situation, okay? And this is happening a lot right now in the culture, in the community right now, where dudes are getting called out like this. And part of me, I do feel bad for them. Especially if you're 50 and you have kids. I think he mentioned his kids were like, "Dad, you gotta get back out there." Imagine he was widowed too. I don't know why I imagined all this extra stuff. I imagined all this backstory. Because here's the thing, his message was that goofy. His message was that goofy. It was like the kind of goofy message that'll, and that's what I always think of when I read a lot of these stories. I'm like, brother, you gotta keep your game tight, baby. You gotta keep your game tight a little bit, right? I mean, we gotta take a responsibility on keeping that game tight, my darlings. Like if you meet someone in real life, you get the number or you get the number. You get the number or you don't get the number. These Hail Mary passes of like inside, go back and on social media, stop it. What a goofy thing to do, dude. If you didn't get the number, okay, here's what you do. Real life, you get the number, you make plans even. If you didn't make plans even, dude, what's a phone number? Useless even, garbage. It's not even really about the phone number or the Instagram. I mean, I would definitely say like the LinkedIn is a professional site. So let's not do LinkedIn, people. That's obviously a no-no. I'm down, today, 5 years ago, I would have said no Facebook. Today, Facebook, Instagram, acceptable. Look, I'm not saying, hey, let's do the full analysis here. Let's call it fair, because that's what we do here. We call it fair. I wanna find fights like this and just call a fair fight on it. You know, that's what I want this podcast to be about, bringing the culture together, bringing the community together. Quite frankly, and like, look, let's call it fair. You meet someone in real life, you think you have a connection, you think you're hitting it off, right? Well, if you really think you have a connection, you really think you're hitting it off, well, you gotta lay it on the line, my darling, and you gotta say, hey, let's meet up then. You gotta say it in person, dude. If you can't say that in person, then maybe it's not where you think it is. Maybe some of these women, a lot, are just friendly and bubbly people, especially when they're at a networking event, they're just friendly bubblies. They're just friendly bubblies, dude. They're girls are so nice, but like so fake nice. You know what I mean? Like guys are kind of like, I don't know, man. There is something about like, they know women. I'm generalizing, obviously. You gotta generalize a little better. How are we gonna have a conversation? But I do find, generally speaking, they're more on top of their shit in social situations. So if there's a social event, they just know. And I feel like as a dude, it didn't occur to me to like dress up and be nice and go to a wedding or something. I never wanted to do that when I was younger. It wasn't like a natural part of my thing. And I'm starting to appreciate, like just go, let's go dancing. Like that's such a, I don't know. His message was too goofy like that. That's what I'm saying, man. You gotta keep your game tight, my darling. And by game tight, it's not, I don't even mean like you have to, like it has to be so great. Like I don't even mean you have to be such a like incredible guy. I'm talking about basics, man. Like if you don't get something in person, just leave it, dude. It's not happening. You gotta get the number in person and you gotta do like, not only a number, but you gotta do like a, you gotta make a plan, dude. You gotta find something you got in common. You gotta be like, oh, let's go do that then. You know? Like the art gallery is free on Wednesdays in Toronto. You can do that. You can be like, oh, have you been to the art gallery? Oh, they have a new thing on this. Art gallery's a little pretentious though. I feel like some people might just call you out on that. Like, dude, I know you're trying to have sex with me. So just chill out. So sometimes you gotta that's even too much to pull an art gallery move. It's too much. Maybe you gotta pull like kind of just something that you both feel like doing, you know? I mean, if you're really hitting it off, you gotta in person make that plan, get a number. Yeah, you gotta get a number. I'm not saying like there's no hard and fast rules on the loan of LinkedIn. That's the one thing I'd say. But also, dude, the way this guy wrote the message, you know those old timey songs that are like, I laid my eyes on you, and now I'll think about you forever. Dude, when did that work? Ever? When did that ever work? That really just feels like a drying it up move. You dried it up, I feel like, on that. You dried it up. And his message, his LinkedIn message, was such a dried it up message. You know what I'm saying? It was such a dried it up message. He just dried it up. He just made a desert down there, dude. You dried it up. Quite frankly, you dried it up. And you know, honestly, some people make you pay a price for drying it up that hard. Some people get mad at you and they're like, fuck you for drying it up so hard. And by drying it up, I mean making things so awkward. You made it awkward, dude. You made my life awkward. And now I'm gonna screen cap it, and I'm gonna public post it because you're such a, you made my life a little awkward. Dude, people get mad at you for that. And yeah, the game is the game, right? It was a little harsh on her part, sure. But also the game is the game. And when you get a message like that, sometimes I'll get a message even from a girl that's like, hi, I really liked you and I just thought maybe we could go on a date or something like that. I'll get a message. And look, man, I don't want to be a shallow piece of shit, dude. But sometimes I'll get, obviously, like, whenever I get a message like that, no, not every time. Sometimes I get messages like that and I'm like, oh, great, thank you. I appreciate it. But sometimes I get a message like that and I'm a little bit offended that, like, oh, you thought I would date you. That's almost like an insult. It is almost like an insult. So even the lawyer, I know it sounds harsh, but he did kind of insult her. He did kind of insult her because that is an insult, dude. When you make them feel awkward like that, they make you pay, dude. Some people are like, fuck you for making me feel awkward. And also, fuck you for thinking that I would date you. How dare you? How dare you think that I would date you? It happens, man. I've seen people do it. I've seen people get so mad. And honestly, I've been offended a couple of times where someone asked me out kind of hard and I'm like, ah, really? You thought I would, like, you know? Because sometimes you leave the house feeling like, you know, you look good. Sometimes you leave the house feeling like a 10, or maybe, obviously I never leave the house feeling like I'm a 10, but you know, including personality, I'm a 10. Including personality, I'm a 10. But nighttime though, right now I'm in the Lord's light, daylight, and the daylight does make me look good. As long as I find a spot under a bridge like this where it's overcast. It's kind of overcast right now too. So in the daytime, like, you're probably looking at me like, oh, I'm like a good, and I didn't even shave my beard. I'm doing this guru baba guruji beard. So you're probably looking at me like, you know, maybe like a 7, right? At nighttime, I'll drop down to a 4. You know, if the lighting's not good, I'll drop down right down to a 4. And that's fine. You know, that's what I got to live with. But there are times where I leave the house feeling like, oh, I look good. It's daytime, whatever. You know, and then I'll say what's up to someone that's kind of hot, and they're like, no, like, they're kind of like, you know, and then I'll be like, okay, whatever. And then someone who is just so rude to say this, but just so objectively unattractive will just be hitting on me, and then I'll feel a little bit like, you know what? I don't need this, you know? I feel a little bit like, man, I really left the house feeling good about myself. Ah, that's so mean. That is really mean. That's so rude. So unlikable of me. So unlikable. But I'm just trying to understand the female, the other lawyer's thing, right? Where she's 35 and she's pretty hot. She's pretty hot, actually. And then this dude, this 50-year-old, who's first of all 50, but also sends this goofy message. You know, I just can't stop thinking about this dried up message. You know, I mean, if you send a message like that, you're basically dropping 2 points on your hotness. You're a two, quite frankly. You're basically a two. If we're being honest about it, I mean, think about what you're doing. You know, like, you need to be confident and believe in yourself. And if you send this ho-hum message like, "Hi, Denise, I just can't stop thinking about ya. I've been thinking about you all night, and I just thought we hit it off and we had such a wonderful time. And if you could just find it in your heart to go out on a date, oh, that would just make my day." That's what that does to people. You dried it up, dude. You dried it up. And you gotta take responsibility for that, dude. You gotta take responsibility for that. By the way, this story happened like 7 years ago. I cannot find new shit. Honestly, I do my best and I cannot find. I spent an hour this morning looking for new internet stories. They're so hard to find, but I think this story is a very timeless story. Ah, Jesus, there's glass everywhere. This is one of those timeless internet stories where I'm like, look, man, this is it's a story that is exemplative of what's happening in the culture and in the community even today. So in that regard, I don't think it's such an inappropriate story. I think it makes sense. And I think it's relevant for today. But anyway, I was looking for more news stories. Oh my God. I was looking for more stories of people getting called out publicly, dating call outs publicly. Ah, is there anything more? Ah, God. I don't know what I'd do, man. Actually, at this age, I kind of wouldn't care. At this age, if I got a public call out, at this age, now I'm finally in a place where I'd be like, ah, sorry. Sorry, hey, also, let me tell you this. Also, I'm not hitting on you. I'm sorry, but too many people think I'm hitting on them, and I'm not even, I'm friendly. I'm a comedian. I think it's time to wrap this up. It's interesting how I made the two stories converge at the end. Because I started with the Mish Patel Comedy Corporation, then I told the story about the LinkedIn thing. And I made it all converge. Actually, no, I did want to talk about this one because I found more dating profile callouts. So this guy, Durjoy Dutta, 29, Delhi boy with dimples. He's from New Delhi. Durjoy Dutta, 29, Delhi boy with dimples. Of course I love you till I find someone better. This guy's a catch though, right? But here's the thing, so far, I'm willing to forgive all of that. I'm willing to forgive all of that, Durjoy. But here's where I find it. Here's where I'm thinking I'm a little worried about this guy. He has 4 interests in his life. 4 interests. Number 1 interest, breakups. Get rid of him. Look, I can let go of the, of course I love you till I find someone better. You know what, I can let that go. I honestly think, I don't mind, I kind of feel like, okay, you can recover from that. But then, 4 interest breakups, dude? Are you a serial killer? Who? That's too much, dude. You can't be into breakups. That's so rude. Okay, then I found this guy. Sorry, girls, I only date models. Killing it. Killing it. You know, and we should all hope to believe in ourselves as good as this, as much as this guy believes in himself. And he's basically, dude, this guy's so brown. He's selling these, you can see that he's selling the tobacco packs on the left there. Those little hanging, dangling things, that's tobacco. So right now his mouth's not open, but guaranteed he's got that tobacco mouth hard, dude. Where his teeth are permanent red, falling out, and he just, every few minutes, he just, dude, when people chew tobacco in India, they literally had to put up these spittoons. They call them spittoons, and you have to spit in there. But dude, it's not like that. It's literally like some guys develop a skill where they go, it's basically, have you ever seen someone squirt? It's that bright red. It's like more than pee, but it's like, it's maybe half a liter of bright red tobacco juice, and they just go half a liter at a time. Where's it coming from? Guaranteed this guy has it, and he still wears the shirt. Sorry, girls, I only date models. Good job, dude. Killing it. I'm a hot Indian. You're a semi-hot Indian. Let's meet up and create beautiful babies. So she responds, I don't think calling girls semi-hot is gonna get you laid. And then she makes a face that's like a... So then he says, it's better than calling you hot. That would just inflate your ego. When are you free? Wow, the when are you free? You know, you really... On the negative side, you can look at all these are very negative that like people are saying these rude things. But on the positive side, I think we can all learn to believe in ourselves a little more, right? All right, I think that's enough for today. I gotta get out of here. It's just getting too noisy with all the construction stuff. And yeah, it's time to call it a day. Guys, my name is Amish Patel, CEO of the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. I love you, and God is great. God is great. My darlings, thank you for consuming this social media content from the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. My name is Amish Patel, CEO of the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. And listen, if you're still watching this, you must really be in love with me. Or else, what are you doing here? It's the internet. You could be watching anything. You could be watching anything. But you're here, you love it, so why don't you just go ahead and subscribe. Okay, hit the bell button too, and then they'll let you know when I got more bits coming out. And I'll tell you this, I got bits. I'm sitting on bits, guys. So many bits. I'm overstocked on bits, and I am working hard to bring them to market for your consumption. So subscribe to the channel. Also, if you want to watch a bit right now, you can. There's a bit right. You can click on the box right below me. That's a bit. You can click on me. It'll take you to a secret bit, or you can go to laughsareup.com. You can listen to the full podcast where these bits are cut out of. You can join the mailing list. You can you'll be notified of live stand-up comedy shows coming to your area. And you can learn about all of the investment opportunities at the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. To do that, go to laughsareup.com or keep getting the bits or subscribe to make sure you keep getting future bits. Or, you know what? Share the video then, too. If you're still here, I mean, what are you doing? You should be working for me at this point. I mean, at this point, you're an investor. Time is money. You spent your time. You're an investor. And if you look at our business model over here, you'll see at the top social media bits. That's what we're watching right now. That's at the top. But if you follow it all the way to the bottom, do you see on that ground floor? It says fans and investors. That's you guys. You are at the ground floor of a very exciting business opportunity here at the Amish Patel Comedy Corporation. So, like I said, go to laughsareup.com, join the mailing list, listen to the full podcast. I think I said everything. That's all the stuff I gotta say, okay? Okay? God is great.